Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Point After. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Time now for the Cool Brew. Cool play of the game. Cool Brew, a New Orleans original since 1989. A coffee house in every bottle.
Tanner Lee drops back. He's under pressure. There's a strip. The ball is loose. It's picked up. Brought back to the 30-yard line, and the New Orleans Saints are going to have great field position. Jayrone Elliott.
Running on the field as they fumble.
Taylor Stallworth on the recovery. Jayrone Elliott with the strip, and a tremendous play there by the Saints defense, and Jayrone Elliott shows up again, Deuce.
The Saints win 24-20. Semper Fi, and good night to our New Orleans Saints Radio Network affiliates down the line. Tune in next Friday night at 7 p.m. when the Saints battle the Arizona Cardinals in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in the preseason home opener. The Saints Radio Network hits the air at 5 p.m. with the Bud Light. Countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and yours truly. Coming up on the flagship station of the Saints, more expert analysis from the Cajun Cannon. Who Dat Nation, this is your time to sound off on today's game. You got a take on the Saints? Bring it. 504-260-1870. Text us at 870-870. I'm Christian Garrick on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars on The Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick. Who Dat Nation, want to hear from you. Your first impressions of the Saints. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Back to the phones we go. David and Metairie. What's going on, David? You're on WWL.
Hey, Bobby. I have a question. I didn't really see the game. I was at work. I guess my question is, on your second-string defense, when do you put them against the first-string offense of the other team to really see their talent and stuff of that sort, where they're not competing against the second-team offense of the opponent team? What's your opinion
on that?
So
you actually, when do you now, a coach could put in the first quarter, you might say, okay, the first team defense you play in the first series, then the second team defense could be in there depending on their opponent, and they keep their first string in.
They won't have mass changes quite like he's talking about, because if they're curious to see how a guy's going to do against the starters, they're going to mix and match. They're going to put one or two guys in with the ones just to see
what
they're going to do.
It won't be complete like platoons.
No.
It won't be like
– And they'll do that in practice at times too. They'll put the second team offense up against the first team defense and vice versa just to get them some
looks.
Well,
for instance, Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback for the Jaguars. He played – he led him on a touchdown drive. Drew Brees didn't play. I mean, Mark Ingram played, but he's going to be suspended. Leonard Fournette played. Jacksonville, I think, was a good humbling experience for the Saints to bring him back down to earth because, we had talked about this in the pregame, Christian and David, that they had way more tackling days than the Saints have as far as like old school Tom Coughlin.
And pads for 12 football. Straight days.
Yes.
The Jaguars, I'm talking about.
And pads, right. And so, I don't know. Chris was not necessarily the right word, but they just looked more ready, if that makes sense, for tackle football. But it doesn't mean anything. No, Jacksonville has one of the best teams in the NFL. They're going to win in the trenches.
It's two different approaches.
Yeah, but David, to decide how you're going to substitute, that varies. It could be completely different, let's say, against Arizona. In the second week, the Cardinals could take a different approach than the Jaguars. So I think it's mostly instead of entire platoons, like, okay, all the second unit, get ready to go in there, and you got to go stop the Cardinals' first-string offense. It's going to be more maybe two or three different players. They want to see how they look with guys you might expect to be on that first team.
David, thanks for the phone call. Who gets the game ball in the Saints win over the Jaguars? That is our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Taysom Hill at quarterback, 8 of 9 passing, 72 yards, a rushing touchdown. Linebacker Jayrone Elliott, who had 2.5 sacks and a strip sack fumble that led to a turnover and the go-ahead score for the New Orleans Saints. Zach Strief at 24%. Running back Jonathan Williams with a touchdown run of 4 yards, or defensive tackle Devereaux Lawrence. I want to talk about Zach Strief. For the first time, man, first time calling an NFL game, I thought it was pretty solid, very solid.
So what, you giving him a game ball?
I'm not giving him a game ball.
Oh, okay.
He got nominated? He's getting 24% of the vote.
Well, if he wins, you got to give him the game ball.
Yeah.
Depends what the Who Dat Nation says.
No, I mean, I thought he did a pretty good job, he and Deuce.
Yeah, I mean, hey. It's
first time out?
Going. And
that's not easy, man. That is not easy calling an NFL game. It's just not.
And
especially in the preseason, the first game.
You just got to build upon what you did and then just go forward and be better next week. Either, you know what? Okay, this is in anything in life, really. Yeah. Either you never stay the same. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse.
You're only as good as your last game played
or
broadcasted.
And Christian, whatever you're doing.
Or deck built.
It doesn't matter. Oh, back in 2014 or no. What did you do in June 15th?
Right.
Or some whatever it is. Like even whenever I went out to practice, that's how it helped me. I know. Last like 15 years. Look at Drew Brees. What is Drew Brees? Look how intense he is. Okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? Am I getting better? Because you're not staying the same. Either you're getting better or worse, and that's why you have to be driven no matter what you're involved in, because you're never going to stay the same. Either you're on the downslope or are you still rising?
Back to the phones we go. Kevin in Biloxi, Mississippi. What's going on, Kevin? You're on WWL.
Two words. Zach Strief, MVP.
Nice. I got a vote from Kevin for Zach.
I don't know, man. I feel very high about the game tonight. I feel
well, you
like,
can't be high, Kevin. Come on, you can't be high after the first quarter.
I'm pedestrian. You know, I'm not a pro football player like you.
But no, I'm not.
I'm just saying, second and third teams, I think, did great.
Right,
and
I agree.
I feel like. This is my major point. But those two kids under the tutelage of Drew Brees, he can play another 7 years. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what?
Who? Flash,
so you say like Taysom Hill?
Or can play another 7 years with Hill and, oh gosh, the other kid.
Tom Savage.
Oh, my God, Savage.
Why do you say, what's the rationale behind that? Because they're playing. He can get 7 more years because it's the preseason, so he's not playing as much?
No. I'm just saying, as Drew teaches them, he's going to be the first person to teach two quarterbacks.
Well, but I'm saying
how to play in the NFL.
But they're not going
to
make him a player coach.
Half a game.
No, he's not going to play half a game. They're not going to do that, Kevin.
Kevin.
No, it sounds good if you want.
This is a great start to the point after, man.
But wait,
I'll tell you
but no, Kevin, you want to share the wealth in theory? Yeah, that Drew could only maybe last longer because he only has to play two quarters instead of fourth. No, once the season starts, the Saints want Drew Brees to play every quarter.
That's a solid strategy. Drew, you're going to play two quarters
in
the regular season.
And I didn't want to cut you off at the beginning, Kevin. Let me tell you what you got to look at. And I know Sean Payton's looking at this. And I know the guys who play and achieve at a high level, they realize this. It's going to come up against the Cardinals. Okay, it's all fine and dandy. Oh, we came back, we won in the second half. What are you doing at the beginning of the game? Why? In the first quarter of the first half. Why? Because those are the guys that are going to make the team, and that's who you're competing against. That's kind of starters versus starters. So that's why I think I was looking at that first quarter like, whoa.
To be fair for that defense, though, they were playing very vanilla coverage.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you weren't game planning at all.
No blitzing. It was zone coverage. They didn't show any man-to-man.
So you know what that's telling me?
They don't even have nickel and all that stuff.
So you know what that's telling me, though, Christian? That a lot of it, and a lot of, you know, you talk about individual talent, player versus player. No, that Dennis Allen scheme helps them out a lot.
Sure.
When you game planning and you have a certain scheme, how you're going to attack an opponent, it's not just, okay, so what, you know, we're playing three deep. We're only playing two-man or three deep coverage, very basic because we're going to whoop you. No, you get to the point where you might have, like, individual greatness in a Cam Jordan, but other players, not that you're trying to disguise it, but you got to almost put them in the position to succeed versus we're not no Chicago Bears. where our Baltimore Ravens
our
defense, where all of a sudden, damn, I know what they're doing.
Just can't beat them.
I hope we can get two or three first downs in a row.
Right.
Yeah. So listen, and we're not claiming that in training camp. The defense is getting better, but I was just disappointed with the basics that was not the case against the Jaguars in that first quarter. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fair. The basics, fundamental stuff of tackling. Saints haven't been live in practice. And look, it's two different approaches. Doug Marrone and Jacksonville has his own approach, and Sean Payton in New Orleans has his own approach as to how he's going to ready his team for the regular season. Two different approaches. We'll see which one works out the best. All right, back to the phones we go. Kevin on the West Bank. What's going on, Kevin? You're on WWL.
You mean James?
I'm sorry, James.
Yeah, James, what you got?
How's it going, fellas?
All right.
Let me get this out of the way. Ayamada, B. Scott, Jay Williams, they look good. Kurt Coleman is a grown man in that box. I can't get Christian or Deuce to get with me, Bobby. You the only one that's with me on this. But we need a 2-eye, like a better 2-eye, because Tyler Davidson is the weakest link on.
Oh, he would start on more than half of NFL teams. More than half.
I don't care about half NFL teams. If you watch Tyler Davidson, for case in point, first and 10 from the 19. T.J. Yeldon on the second drive, the Jaguars had. He got one-on-one with the center, gets drove 2 yards in the defensive backfield. 91, what's his name, got double-teamed. He did better against the double-team than Tyler Davidson did against the center. And so
I can tell you this, James. What I would somewhat agree with you, and then Christian and Deuce would disagree with me, and I might be leaning towards you, that I think Tyler Davis can make every team, but I think he's limited in number of snaps. I mean, I think you put him in the rotation 20, 25 snaps, and he's going to be solid overall, but he's not going to be dominant. The one dominant guy to me, I don't care where you drafted, even over Sheldon Rankins, or Tyler Davis is Oyemata. Christian, I wrote this down. I'm just looking at this. I forgot to mention this. I think I mentioned this at halftime. The first good play the defense made, Oyemata, -2 tackle for loss at the beginning of the second quarter. You remember that play, James? That there was a play that kind of set the tone in the beginning of the second quarter. Oyemata was a -2 tackle for loss, because that wasn't occurring in the first quarter.
Check it out, Bobby. Mario Davis would have been in position to tackle T.J. Yeldon, but because Davidson got pushed into him, he has no chance at making a play, and T.J. Yeldon picks up 8 yards.
Well, James, I can tell you right now, by that occurring, the coach, when they watch in the film, that can never happen. And the linebacker doesn't even have to get on Tyler Davidson. The D-line coach says, no, this is unacceptable. If we can truly get better in run defense and not give up 4.5 yards a run, it's going to start. What Sheldon Rankins, Oyemata, Tyler Davis, what they're going to do and not get pushed back into the linebackers.
This is where I would agree with James and Bobby. Hold on, James. This is where I would agree with both y'all. In particular, yes, they get against power. Jacksonville Jaguars run a power running game.
They're
going to have a hard time with those type of offenses because they don't have a bunch of space eaters. They don't have those big Vince Wilfork kind of guys.
That's
just not how they are built. Now, against zone running teams, they'll do fine because it's about more athleticism up front. They have an athletic defensive line. They don't have a stout, strong, big, bulky guys up front. It's going to happen. It's kind of pick your poison. James, I'll offer you this too. I can see why you don't have those big space eaters. Look at every team in the division. You're built to play within your division and win your division first. And what do they run a lot of in Atlanta? Zone. A lot of in Carolina? Zone.
Oh, okay, but James and Christian, think about this. They have a handful of power teams like Jacksonville. Like, if I'm the Cowgirls and I'm giving Ezekiel Elliott, you know what? I'm running right at the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see, and they can say, man, you know what? With Ezekiel Elliott, I think we can average 4 or 5 yards a run. Then you're controlling the ball. And what you doing? You're keeping the ball on Drew Brees' hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is a concern, James. And I think Oyemata's the one, to me, that's made the most progress to be that complete defensive tackle, even over Sheldon Rankins and Tyler Davidson as far as he's getting better against the run. It's amazing his progression. He just started playing football coming out of Canada, and – and just rushing the passer. So I still got to see more of what we're going to do up front. They held the linebackers flow sideline to sideline and fill the gaps and not all of a sudden have a D lineman in their lap where, oh, you made the tackle, but now it's second and four. That's not good. No, it needs to be second and eight or second and nine. Then you truly stop in the run.
James, thanks for the DM on Twitter as well. We appreciate it, man. Real Sweaters, Tom and Craig, just a point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, WWL. In preseason game number one, the opener over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Your first impression of the Saints in the preseason. Call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby and Christian here with you on the point after. Back to the phones we go. Real Sweaters. What's going on, Real Sweaters? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's up, guys? First, I want to say Zach Strefa, I think, did a great job. I mean, big shoes to fill from Jim Henderson. I know Bobby knows the same way, filling Buddy D's shoes. So I need to give him
Well, the thing is, Real Sweaters, Zach has a lot more pressure than I did because Buddy wanted me to come on board and help him out because of his age. And then he he passed away. So it was kind of almost, it wasn't necessarily passing the torch because he didn't retire. You know, it was sudden. And I was looking forward to, you know, doing, the draft and then doing mini camps and just training camp and the pre and post game with them. And so it was kind of caught me off guard. But it's a little different between when I came on board in 2005 and what Zach's having to deal with because Jim Henderson is helping him out and trying to be a big influence, positive influence with his production going forward. So it's a little different, but, yeah, when you're following two legends, and that being Buddy DiLiberto and Jim Henderson, yeah, it's big shoes to fill.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he did a great job going on from that, him and Deuce. I mean, two color guys that you would think, two color guys, thought that Zach did a great job.
Why would you say that two color guys? I mean, Zach Strief's never done color before.
Well, but he's a player.
So that doesn't mean – I know, but hear me out, though. And I know you're praising him, but I hate when people put people in boxes, right? I hate when – and I'm not saying you're doing it. I just think in general, there's been a number of players in the NFL currently that are on NFL radio broadcast crews right now that are play-by-play guys. I know the Green Bay Packers have a former player. Also, Frank Gifford – And Pat Summerall were players in the league. They did play-by-play. It does happen.
I got you. I'm just saying. They sounded great together.
Well, Real Sweaters, what I know you broke down the game, so what do you think? There's no way you were impressed in the first quarter.
No. I'm not giving the MVP ball to Zach Strief by any means or
you have some fans wanting to give it to Taysom Hill. I'm like, what?
I mean, the guy was pretty fun to watch run, though.
Without a doubt, he's very aggressive. Oh, that's one thing. He's going to tuck it and run. He don't come half-stepping. 7 carries, 52 yards, 7.5-yard average.
Yeah, and it was fun to watch. I mean,
right.
Obviously, I'm not the only one out there. God, we're going to miss Mark Ingram for the first 4 games. It's almost a tease watching him preseason.
Well, Real Sweaters, if you you'd have to give if you're looking for a front runner right now, the Mark Ingram Jr. or that type of running back, you'd have to give it to Jonathan Williams, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it looks like Jonathan Williams, Boston Scott. I don't know, man. Christian. I don't want to say that. This sounds mean, Real Sweaters. But Terrence West looked fat to me. I don't think
he did.
It wasn't no flag jacket around his belly.
He looks way thicker than I think he's ever been in his career.
Pause it right here. Like, whoa. How can you gain weight in training camp?
I don't know.
I was extremely, disappointment might be the right word, but I was not necessarily initially impressed. Because he is competing, Terrence West, great opportunity for him, like Jonathan Williams, to be available for the Saints while Mark Ingram is suspended.
Who gets the game ball in a Saints win over the Jaguars? Quarterback Taysom Hill. Play-by-play man Zach Strief. Linebacker Jayrone Elliott. Running back Jonathan Williams. Defensive tackle Devereaux Lawrence. Zach Strief making his play-by-play debut tonight. 31% of the vote for Zach. 32% for quarterback Taysom Hill, who went 8 of 9, 72 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Real sweaters. Thanks for the phone call.
So, wait, no one's giving this to Elliott?
No. Right now he's got 22%.
Well, that I'm overruling all of that. There's no way that L.A. cannot beat an MVP.
2.5 sacks, a strip fumble led to the Saints game-winning drive?
2 forced fumbles, tackle for loss, a quarterback hit, 2.5 sacks, and he was third in the league of the tackles. Christian,
I know.
That is not only Pro Bowl, but that's like all pro numbers if you average that. I mean,
of course. Yeah.
Sorry, Houdat Nation. We're trying to help you out. We're trying to tell you who to vote for because that was an outstanding performance, taking advantage to get on film. The big guy in the sky don't lie, to get on film so the coaches could be impressed. I mean, Jerome Elliott, you have to be impressed what he did.
Real Sweaters, thanks for the phone call. Tom in Pensacola, Florida. What's going on, Tom? You're on WWL.
Hey, Bobby, what's going on?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I had a question about Taysom Hill myself. I heard the conversation y'all were having in the previous question. But my thing is, like, with Taysom Hill, he's explosive, but is he the answer to carrying on Drew Brees' legacy? Because Drew Brees is a drop.
Too early to tell either way. I mean, you can't write him off and you can't anoint him as the heir apparent. You just can't.
Well, Tom, I think if Taysom Hill is your quarterback, Sean Payton's completely changing the playbook compared to what he would do with Drew Brees. And he would take the chance that the RPOs, okay, get out the pocket, hopefully you get out of bounds or you get down, but he'd give a number of opportunities to run the football. Look what he scored on the touchdown. You think Taysom Hill wasn't? He's running like a running back.
Right, and I understand that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, are the Saints willing to, like, change their total playbook from, you know, the whole
– I would
– well, we've got to run balance now. But we were aired out 2 years ago.
Well,
but now we've got to run balance, and then we go to the RPO. That's fine. I'm fine with it. Taysom Hill shows athletic ability.
I can tell you why I'm not necessarily sold on Taysom Hill. I got to see a day in and day out where it's not an effort to be accurate. You can't coach accuracy. When you're in practice, if the guy's open in the flat, easy throw, you got to hit him. You can't throw it behind him. You can't throw it high fastball. And like, for instance, did you notice JT Barrett, even when he was in the game, and the running back's right open in the flat for a touchdown? Come on, you got to pull the trigger. That's a touchdown. And all of a sudden, I don't know how you don't see that, if he didn't have confidence or whatever in that particular play. But that should have been an easy touchdown pass. Now, with Taysom Hill, until I see him truly being more accurate, then I think Sean Payton might be able to live with him long term, because it is intriguing with the RPOs because his running ability is outstanding. But until I see him more accurate, and I think Sean Payton even goes this route, that I don't know if they would necessarily say, like, oh, that's the heir apparent to Drew Brees. You might want it to be in theory. Like, for instance, he had a nice pass, 25-yard, to Tre'Quan Smith. That was a nice pass, if you look at that. But, okay, but you got to do that, like, two handfuls. You're like, right. That was a great pass. No, so what?
He has to prove
like 10, 12 times.
He has to prove that he can sit in the pocket as a pure pocket passer and zip balls down the field with accuracy. You know that he's going to be able to create plays. You know he's going to be able to extend plays. Ideally, and this is a lofty comparison, but you want Taysom Hill to turn into a Russell Wilson type.
Right. Okay, and do you think, are all you Houdat Nation members out there, do you think if you watch a Seahawks game of Russell Wilson, because he extends plays with his feet, and a lot of times not just running, but he's extending plays to pass. But do you think Taysom Hill, now maybe you haven't, well, we've observed, but I've observed Russell Wilson and Taysom Hill. Come on. Taysom Hill can't even sniff Russell Wilson as far as accuracy. So that's all I'm saying. It's like, yeah, it's good that you have all this ability, but still in the NFL, the defenses are too good. When they get a month of film on you or 6 weeks, you better be able to make plays in the pocket and be accurate all the time. What I mean by accurate, like not 48%. And it's, I mean, you think, oh, well, that's not that much difference, 48 to 62%. Hell yeah, it's a lot. That's a major difference when you break it down a game after game.
Oh, look, the Houdat Nation certainly spoiled by Drew Brees. It's going to be tough to fill those
NFL
shoes.
NFL records.
Yeah, 72% completion percentage this past season. So, look, the guy who replaces, I think, the guy who succeeds Drew Brees on a consistent basis isn't on this roster right now, currently, as I see it. Now, Taysom Hill could end up proving me wrong.
Yeah, and he could prove you wrong or compete
right
with maybe the next guy. I don't
Johnny
know.
In Mobile, Alabama, what's going on, Johnny? You're on The Point After on WWL.
Hey, fellas, good evening. Do you agree this might be one of the most talented Saints teams on the roster in a couple years, right?
I'd say so. There we go, getting into the on-paper conversation, yeah, which I usually shy away from. But as far as depth, yeah, it's one of the more talented teams the Saints have put on the field since perhaps 2011.
Well, especially because think about this, Johnny. How many times in NFL history that you could claim, Christian, you can look this up, but I think it's not the first time it occurred. Think about how we hit the lottery. You have the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Offensive Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean,
it's been like 40 years.
Okay, exactly. So think about that. So how can you not be optimistic about the roster? Young guys contributing, and you know why? You know what else? You'd have to pay these young guys
for a while.
Yeah, for a while. Right now, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like this year, next year. That's why you got to win now, and then you take an advantage of Drew Brees, like Michael Thomas, the whole crew. That. No, I like the roster. Now, I still think we need some kind of contribution from Davenport. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Marcus Davenport against the Cardinals.
I think you will.
You think you will?
I think he'll be back on the field Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, that'll be interesting because the Saints fans, who in our nation, want to see him. Come on.
He's got to get reps, too. I mean, yeah, he's a football. He's rough around the edges
in terms of
football.
And we need you to bring it off the edge opposite of Cam because Cam Jordan, you know, is going to bring it.
Craig in Algiers, Stevie in Houma, Mike in Mid-City, Brian in Biloxi, and you too, 504-260-1870. Your first impressions on the Saints, a 24-20 win tonight over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is The Point After on Saints Radio, WWL. Welcome back to The Point After, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Here till midnight, still to come, Saints head coach Sean Payton's press conference in full, and also an NFL scoreboard from preseason action around the National Football League. Back to the phones we go. Stevie, I should say. And Homa, what's going on, Stevie? You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, man.
That's good. No, I was just calling to say, I thought Taysom did a pretty good job tonight. You know,
wait, Stevie. When you say, not okay, everyone's being objective about this,
mm-hmm.
that at first I thought he meant, not. I don't know if nervous is the right word because I think he's a football player. Look, when you think at – now, is that the future quarterback replacing Drew Brees? The very first play of the game – wait. But, Stevie, think about this. The very first play of the game, he's going down on kickoff coverage, and we kick it to the goal line. He ends up being part of the pile. I mean, you think Sean Payton would be risking the replacement for Drew Brees?
No, but once he proves himself that he
is the guy to be Brees' successor, then they'll take him off special teams.
I think what's going to happen maybe this year is that they'll keep him and use him as an emergency quarterback and use him on a special team.
Amen.
He can play special teams. He almost blocked a punt tonight.
Stevie, I think Taysom Hill's going to play 10 years in the NFL and maybe at best – would beat an emerging quarterback but could excel on special teams. You know, they pay those guys. I'm just telling you, they – listen, you'd be shocked. You know how much they pay Banjo? And he, look at his limited number of snaps. They pay him like $1.6 million, and he's a special teams ace. So I'm saying it's so specialized, and Taysom Hill is amongst the best that I could see him that, okay, it's great that you could play quarterback in an emergency situation. Now, think about this also, and they're going to have this up their sleeve. That's why they want him to work out as a holder with Lutz. Boy, I'm talking about fake field goals. He can get outside accurate enough to throw it or run it, be the up back on punch. You fake a punt, No, he could definitely be a weapon in a Saints uniform.
Yeah, no, I think he really, you know, I think he hit a few guys really, you know, really good with that ball tonight. I mean, he put it right on the number a few times.
Right, right. He did
and,
do that.
And, you know, I think sometimes what he did, though, I think he was looking more at the rushers coming in rather than the receivers out there.
I think both of those guys, Stevie, Taysom Hill and JT Barrett. JT Barrett had a wide open touchdown in the flat on a bootleg.
On the goal line.
And he doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust himself.
I can't believe he missed that. He saw it. Everybody saw it. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, he looks like he was looking right there. I don't know if he just didn't pick it up quick enough. But, like, Stevie, I think you make a great point that I look at Taysom. Okay, when you come to the line as a quarterback, you have a pre-snap read, and you kind of figure out if you know what you're doing with how the defense is trying to stop you. And so I think when he's going through his progressions, if the first guy's open, he's definitely, I think, going to hit him. If the second guy, maybe. If the third guy, he'll never get there. He's taking off and he's running.
Yeah.
He's not standing in the pocket and get hit. I know that.
I think for the first game, as a true quarterback, basically, I know he was in there at least one or two times on the kickoff, right?
Right. Yes, he started the game on kickoff coverage.
It's unbelievable.
No, he was on kickoff coverage, flying down there. No, he's tough. He's a tough son of a gun.
You gotta admit, we all love the guy down here.
Right.
And we love him, and we hope and pray that maybe Sean can convert him and get him there where he needs to be.
Well, Stevie, think about this.
4 years. Yes. He can.
Stevie, think about this. He was so outstanding for the Packers last year. He was with Green Bay, and he was unbelievable in the preseason. The Packers wanted him. They were trying to slip him through the practice squad. Then the Saints see him on film. But to steal him from the Packers, they had to put him on the active roster. All of a sudden, they bring him on the active roster, and they see how athletic he is. What? Oh, well, shoot, we're going to activate him on game day and put him on special teams.
Kudos to the Saints scouting department for that
one. Yes, without a doubt. Kudos to the Saints scouting department finding him.
Stevie, thanks for the phone call. Mike in Mid-City, what's going on, Mike? You're on The Point After on WWL.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, man.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, well, yeah, Bobby. I would like to grade. I mean, my grade, I could see some early cuts. All right? I think I could see some early cuts. But what I don't like is Anzalone and Klein and pass coverage. You know, they are not, obviously, they don't look too good in pass coverage. You know?
Well, Klein, no. Anzalone, yes.
You know, I mean, well, you saw what happened with Brady last year. Yeah. You know,
the thing is, Anzalone got torched by Gronk, and we played the Patriots. No,
he was a rookie. No, he was a rookie, and also Gronk does that to a lot of linebackers. I think that was a matchup problem that they just got. They matched him up against Anzalone because of scheme. They were able to get the Saints in the right defense.
Well,
that's not the only one that struggle with in coverage.
But, Mike, along the lines of what you're saying, Anzalone, we've seen him make a number of plays in practice as a pass-covering linebacker. So you can see the skill set. The point I'm making is, but he does not have the skins on the wall like Craig Robinson. I don't know why nobody's ever hating on Craig Robinson, because I know what he's – talk about an overachiever and a playmaker.
I don't hate on him.
But you have some people say, like, oh, Craig Robinson, special teams guy. No. When they put him in there to start, he's been outstanding.
Yeah, I don't know what they'd be watching. But you know, I think if they mix and match like they did last year, you know, with they, you know, stick with their core people and just mix and match with what they have, you know, trying to keep people fresh and stuff, hopefully it'll work again. But it was
If you can't come to Rouse's, Rouse's can come to you. Shop www.rouses.com for fresh meat.
Bad angles and missed tackles. You know, it's like deja vu again, you know, like I said.
Well, you know what, Mike, I can tell you this, that both third down defenses struggled. You might say you have to look at the backups and all, but look, the Jaguars were 50%. I know the defensive coaches will say that's unacceptable. and we end up being around 50% offensively. But that wasn't the case at the beginning of the game. I know when I threw away those halftime stats. But I want to say at halftime, Christian, look on third down. What was the halftime like stats? The Jaguars and the Saints.
Third down efficiency?
Yes.
Saints were 3 of 6, 50%. The Jags were 4 of 7, 57%.
Yeah. So you remember when I told you, I said now they were 2 of 7.
Right.
But it's amazing when you look on third down, can you get off the field?
They ended the game 6 for 12. The Jaguars did. The Saints ended 5 for 11, almost 50%.
Yeah. So that's why I was saying both defensive staffs are saying we got to get off the field on third down. That's football 101 defense. And you know, a lot of times what you have to do is get an offense in a predictable down to defend them. You can't get where it's like 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5. You know, you want it to where it's like 2nd and 10, 2nd and 9, where, oh, shoot, now you could pin your ears back and pass rush. They are passing. And that's when all of a sudden your defense is not getting it done on third down, which we did not do in the first quarter, where Leonard Fournette. What did Leonard Fournette do? Now, he played at the beginning of the game.
5 rushes, 24 attempts.
Yeah, so basically 4.85 yards a carry. That's not good. Because you know why? They could keep you off balance if they're able to run like that, no matter who's the running back. We know Fournette's one of the best, but that's what Dennis Allen and the defense are going to stress. We cannot give up that much on first down.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is the Point After here on Saints Radio. Coming back for your calls here on WWL. Yeah, they did get run over. And look, we've seen it in run drills in training camp, Bobby. They've had a hard time stopping the run. They just have.
Yeah, the Saints have had success, the periods where, okay, if they were tackling, I don't know, when you thump, whatever you call it, they're not taking them to the ground. Okay, you might have thumped them, but they already gained 6 yards.
Yeah.
So you're in position. So, when you look at that, okay, now they had 72 yards rushing, but look at the first quarter. Now, Christian, now this is why it's misleading, because if we could do this for a game, because we did better as the game progressed with the backups and all, 26 attempts, we only gave up 2.8 average. Shoot, we'd be 1 or 2 in the NFL.
Sure.
No, that'd be snot bubble defense. But that was not necessarily the case when we were trying to stop Leonard Fournette. And we end up actually, because of Taysom Hill's running, helped out. We end up getting 135 yards on 34 attempts, 4 yard average. So we actually beat the Jaguars at their own game, even though it's preseason, to look at the glass half full instead of half empty, considering last year the Jaguars had the number one rushing team in the whole National Football League at almost 142 yards a game.
Taysom Hill, 7 attempts, 52 yards, a touchdown, his longest run of 21 yards. He was the leading passer and the leading rusher for the Saints in a win 24-20 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brandon and Kenner, what's going on, Brandon? You're on the Point After here on WWL.
Yo, man, what's happening? Yo, what's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon, what you got?
Man, Bob, you a crazy man, bro. I love you. I love listening to you, man. I tell you what, Bob, you about the realest person I ever heard in my life, because you just say whatever's on your mind at any time.
Brandon, I think I try to keep it real. Now, that sounds like a cliche, but I'm not the smartest, but I know I always brag and kind of jokingly, though. You know, everybody talks about the 1%. Well, I kind of view myself as the 1% common sense.
Come on. I see you. I hear you.
And I'm fair, Brandon. I'll tell you what, I know I am fair. I could go to look in the mirror, go to bed at night, and I know I'm fair with all the players.
Hey, that's why I like you, bro. You speak your mind. Now, check this out. This is what I think about Taysom Hill. Just hear me out, man.
Okay.
I think they should really let Breeze go ahead and put him on the Breeze wing and turn him into a pocket quarterback. I want you to listen to this right quick. Brady, Aaron, Roethlisberger, Breeze. He's a top pocket. That's like Roethlisberger. That's a big dude.
Right.
And he majority complete his better passes out the pocket. Quarterbacks like Breeze, Brady, they tearing up the game because everybody training for these linemen that can – go after a scrambler. Everybody want a scrambler. But if you got a quarterback, man, you could train him under the right person to keep his mind focused in that pocket before
step up in the pocket. Now you have to pick and choose when you're going to bail and run. But that's easier said than done, Brad. I can tell you right now, some players that are so talented, even when they were a little boy and they can run, like right now, I can tell you, Brandon, and he got a rocket for an arm. Cam Newton will never truly be a pocket passer because he's so gifted. Look, he was a man amongst boys at Auburn when they won the national championship. So now you get to the NFL, now you can get humbled. You know what this new rule, helmet to helmet? That's going to help Cam Newton because they can't tattoo him like they did after. Remember that? Mm-hmm. When they lost the Super Bowl, when they played the Broncos 4 or 5 times, Cam Newton's a tough son of a gun. They knocked the crap on him with the crown of their helmet, and he got up. I don't know how he got up, but the point being, sometimes your instincts, when you're so talented that to just stay in the pocket. The two guys I could say that definitely make plays in the pocket, and they can also extend plays, are Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. They are a different animal to me than Tom Brady or Drew Brees. That Dak Prescott, I got to see a little more what potentially he could do. So there's definitely room for that. Listen, I would have loved to have the ability to extend plays out the pocket. If I could have done that, Christian, the way I was molded, I know I would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not just the Louisiana Saints Hall of Fame. If I could have had those assets, because I knew how to, within the pocket, to make plays, but if I could have all of a sudden, we're playing the Buffalo Bills, you got Bruce Smith rushing, they go on all these Super Bowls, they're like an NFC team, and they're playing cover 2-man. And all of a sudden, it's time to throw, but there ain't nobody open. But I really couldn't, like, get away like a nifty quarterback. You know, I can run fast enough in a straight line, but to be nifty and all that. That's why I don't never take away that. That's why I don't know if Taysom Hill ever could have the patience to truly make plays in the pocket and go through, okay, like he made throws initially, initial read after the first read. The guy's open. He hit him. He was accurate the first, second read. But what if you, like, all of a sudden moving the defensive backs or linebackers with your eyes and you're stepping up and you're still not panicking, then all of a sudden you come to your third receiver. And then all of a sudden, because it's not always going to be open, instead of taking a sack now, like Drew would probably take a sack, because Drew's been sacked 20 times, not the least sacked quarterback since 2006. But what if all of a sudden a handful of times, whoa.
He escapes those
sacks. He escapes that and then takes off and run. And then it's kind of an Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson type
play.
Well,
if you had Russell Wilson's escapability added with Drew Brees' accuracy, I don't know if any defense
would stop. No, you have to outlaw. They'd be outlawed. a cyborg. That's not a human. Not fair.
Brandon, let's go back to your point, though, about I get it. I understand it's a thought, and I appreciate the thought of, put him under Drew Brees' wing. He can't become Drew Brees. In other words, just because he's getting tutored by Drew Brees doesn't mean he's going to become Drew Brees. Those special athletes, those special quarterbacks have something about them that just makes them that way, whether it's something in their skill set, whether it's something programmed in their mind, the way they prepare. Not everybody can bear that burden. And as much as you want to, Taysom Hill could watch Drew Brees, every part of his routine, every part of film, go out there and practice and try to do everything like Drew Brees, and he may never be anything like it. It doesn't mean that just because you're around him and you're learning from him that you're going to be Drew Brees. I think that is a misnomer.
Well, Brandon, and look at this. How many times Chase Daniel seen Drew Brees practice and is in the meeting room?
Exactly.
Did Chase Daniel, he's a little guy like Drew, did he turn into Drew Brees? Hell no.
No.
No, he's still an NFL quarterback. But he's not, I'm not even saying first ballot, not even Hall of Fame level. But I'm just saying you could help out. Now, Luke McCown had an opportunity when, you know, we played against Carolina. He had a 300-yard game, but he still, they with Drew, they can help Drew, but they can't necessarily be Drew. Like, I could be a player coach with Drew, and I know I can help out Drew with certain things, but I still won't be at Drew's level.
Right.
The one thing I know I could take a hit like Drew, but they don't really hit the quarterbacks anymore. But, you know, there's different things. What's an asset? And the one thing, though, Drew's work ethic. A lot of young guys don't realize the work Drew puts in and the film study and how he's able to process, like, diagnose a play and a coverage at the line of scrimmage. Okay, you have a call, and then you call that play in the huddle. Then you look at what the defense is doing. then you're able to change that and get into a better play. Man, you think, oh, all NFL quarterbacks, they can do that. Hell no. I'm telling you right now, they have smart NFL quarterbacks, and they got not-so-smart NFL quarterbacks. Not going to say dumb, but they got the not-so-smart NFL quarterbacks.
They can't process it as quickly.
Yes.
They can't see it. They can't anticipate it. I mean, and look, here's
Drew Brees and that elite mental capabilities of NFL quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. That's one thing I know for sure.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, those guys have played so much football that you're not going to trick them. You're just not. They know exactly what they're looking at all the time. Now, some of these other quarterbacks that even have been – I think guys like even Alex Smith, who's been around for a while, he can still get tricked. I don't think he sees the game from a cerebral standpoint that those elite guys do. And look, that's just a fact of the matter, Brandon. Thanks for the phone call.
Alex Smith is trying to pledge or join that fraternity.
Yes. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. You can jump in the conversation. Your first impressions of the New Orleans Saints in their preseason opener, a win 24-20 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Six sacks forced by the New Orleans Saints. A fumble recovered, turnover, plus one in the takeaway giveaway ratio. Another positive sign. The Saints have been stressing turnovers in training camp. I talked about it at the open during the pregame, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. I wanted to see, can they transfer that, the turnovers that they were forcing in practice, could they transfer that over into the preseason? They did that so far. Still a lot to work on. Obviously, Sean Payton not happy after the game with some sloppy tackling.
Well,
guys not knowing where to line up. It's typical of a first preseason game.
Christian, you know, glass half full, six sacks like you said, and you know what? We plus one in the turnover margin. You know?
Take it.
Good habits.
Yep.
So be plus one and build upon that. Then all of a sudden we plus two for the two games, the preseason. That's a big positive. Six sacks and plus one in that turnover margin.
If you think or believe you can do it, most of the time you end up doing
you
it.
You can do it.
It follows you. Craig and Algiers, Brian and Biloxi. It's the point after here on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.